Well, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Great to be here. As Pastor said, I was here 2 years ago. But great to be back with you. By the way, I want you to turn your Bible real quickly. This isn't part of a lesson, but turn to Proverbs 18:10. This is a verse that I've been sharing with a lot of people. You might be familiar with it, but it just is a great reminder to us. And I've got it highlighted in my Bible. In fact, I shared it with so many people, I finally went ahead and had it typed up and printed on a little card, and I've been handing them out to some different people. But look what it says, Proverbs 18:10. This is a great help in times like we live in. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous do what? Run to it, and we're safe. You know what? There's safety. Even in these difficult times of uncertainty and all the challenges and fears and everything that's out there, guess what? We just run to the Lord, and God gives us safety. He has a purpose and a plan for each thing. Sometimes we think, ooh, Lord, you sure? That had to happen? That's a great verse just to be reminded of. Run to the Lord, and God does give peace, security, hope in times where it seems like there's not much hope around. And sad to say, even a lot of Christians I find are so fearful and so much uncertainty, and yet we've got certainty in God's Word. Isn't it great to be a part of a body of believers, local body of believers? What a blessing. I'll probably share just briefly my testimony in the service this morning. I probably shared it last time that I was here. I know what I preached on, but I don't remember every illustration. But actually, I grew up as a Roman Catholic in St. Louis, Missouri, and didn't trust the Lord as Savior. I was drawn to Christ, first of all, through the testimony of a young lady that I met at a secular university. And then she had a real purpose with her life, and I saw that. And I was drawn to the Word of God as a result of that. And it took a little while to sink in because of my indoctrination. But when I was 24, I put my faith and trust in Christ. And what a blessing it has been now. In fact, just had my spiritual birthday, December 23rd. And that's why Christmas is even more special to me, because it was 2 days before Christmas, some years back, that I put my faith and trust in Christ. Anyway, what a blessing to be able to be a part of a body of believers where we can be encouraged, we can have hope together, and edify, build up, and encourage one another. And of course, we do that, first of all, through the Word of God, but secondly, even with fellowship with one another. So, great to be with you this morning. If you took the outlines over there, we do have three for the day. I'm not going to try to do all those in Sunday school. But that first one, it says, becoming the leaders God intended you to be. That's what we're going to cover in Sunday school. And then the second one, be different on purpose, which I call a life principle. We're going to look at in the morning message. And then tonight, we're going to talk about meditation on Scripture. And not that that's foreign to you, but I do believe that it seems like we need it all the more in the days that we live. And so, I want to give you a little bit of an overview of some things. Like I said, I did have written down what I shared the last time I was here, and it's definitely not the same messages, but I refer to this when I have the opportunity to come. And by the way, the main reason that I am here is for tomorrow. And I would appreciate your prayers. I'm going to have the privilege of being with the 9th through 12th graders in your school, and we're doing what we call a student leadership conference. And it's a program of the American Association of Christian Schools. I have the privilege of being the executive director of it. And we're actually our own 501(c) non-for-profit now. But 30 years we've been doing these now around the country for Christian schools and churches. And many times I do what I'm doing today. If we have a conference on a Monday, by the way, I'm not the only guy. I think there's 23 of us that do these conferences. I'm the old guy. And then there's a lot of younger guys. Some of them are associated with Bible colleges around the country. Others are pastors, youth pastors. None of us are full-time. We don't We don't have salaries or anything like that. It's just a sideline, but I've had the privilege of being involved in that. And what we say is we help good kids. We seek to come alongside of homes, ministries like this, and help good kids become godly servants. And the reason I use the term kids is because just about everywhere I go, somebody will come up to me and say, you know what, we just have some good kids here in our school. Or, well, we have some good kids in our youth department. And I know what they mean by that. But you know what? We can't be content being good, can we? Because God says we're to be godly. And so we try to come alongside of homes and churches and point them to the Word of God and help them to be biblical and have a biblical worldview. And so what I call a day like today, when I have the privilege of being in church, in a church like yours, and not in my own church. I'm on a pastoral staff, Tri-City Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri. It's where I was saved many years ago. And that's where I was. Well, I was on pastoral staff for 34 years. And then 2004, the Lord uprooted my wife and I, moved us to northern Wisconsin, and I was part of administration at Northland Baptist Bible College. And one of my mentors, Les Olala, who he was the first of all, the president, and then the chancellor, and still have an opportunity to be with, as we call him, DACO, fairly often. I'll see him here in a few weeks. And then in 2012, came back to Kansas City, and I volunteer my time now on pastoral staff. But I'd gone probably many, or at least until last March, I was gone many Sundays. And it kind of came to a screeching halt there for a while. Seems like back on somewhat on the schedule again, and we're thankful to have the opportunities. But we come in and we have Biblical Worldview Sunday. And what is it? I asked that question in a church not long ago. I said, what does it mean to have a biblical worldview? What is a worldview? And some man said, well, it's how you view the world. And I thought, that's a pretty good definition, actually, when you think about it. And as a believer, how should we view the world from a biblical perspective? What does the Bible say about life? What does the Bible say about purpose? And so that's really what we're going to do, is just come alongside, because it's not like you don't receive Bible on a regular basis here. That's why you're here in this church and this ministry. I've only been here once before, but I know your pastor and know the school administrator and several of you, and it's just a blessing to be back once again. But I want to look at this overview, becoming the leaders God intended you to be. The reason I use the word leaders there is because that's really, Scripture tells us that we are leaders. In fact, just to give you a little bit of a background in this, and I don't think I shared this last time that I was here, but how I got involved in actually challenging young people for leadership is soon after I was saved. In fact, when I was saved, I was already out of college. I was actually in management for JCPenney Company. I had a business degree, and I was management for JCPenney. And then after graduation, about 6 months later, Uncle Sam came my way and said he wanted me for the next 2 years in the United States Army. So I left my job and was in the Army for 2 years. And the last year of that, I was in Vietnam. And it was really in Vietnam where I ended up getting into the Word of God. Had some time on my hands, especially on guard duty once a week. I would be on guard duty from 6 at night until 6 in the morning in this tower at the end of our compound. And what we would do, actually, where I was stationed, was ship guys back to the States. So 2,000 men a day up the street. There was another company that shipped 2,000 into country, and ours shipped them back to the States after they had been there for a year. And so that's what I did for a year. But we did have, because a lot of men that were, and ladies that were there, and actually going back out of country. And so we would have to perform guard duty once a week, and I'd have two guys that had just come into country with me that I did not know, but I was kind of over them. And it was in that time that I would actually get into the Word of God. Sad to say, I didn't do it as much in front of people But up there with my flashlight on in that little tower, I would be reading my Bible. And I was actually on a scripture meditation program called TMS, Topical Memory System, that and I was learning verses like Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And it was through scriptures like that that God really used in my heart that when I came back to the States and I got involved in a Bible-believing church, and about 2 months later, after really being under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God and being involved in a Bible-believing church for the first time, that I met with the pastor, and I think he thought I was saved because this young lady had given me a new Scofield Bible when I came back from the Army. And so I was toting my Bible and coming to church and picking up the language, and I thought that I was probably saved somewhere in all these things that I had done, whether it was First Communion or Confirmation or whatever along the way. But I finally came to the realization that I had religion but not a relationship with Christ. Now, I said I was going to share that in service, but I just kind of shared my testimony right there, matter of fact. But soon after that, I wanted to get that message out to others. And my wife, by the way, the young lady who attracted me to Christ became my wife not long after that. And we actually have our 50th anniversary coming up next month. On the 13th of February, we will be married 50 years. And actually, at the end of December, mid-December this year, I will have had 50 years, or we will have had 50 years, of being in full-time Christian service. Because it was December after I got saved that I actually quit my job, started a Christian teen center at our church, had no salary because we were just a small, young church at the time, but we lived off of her salary for a year, then I became the youth pastor. But I had a real burden to get that message out that no one had actually shared with me before to others, and so I started working with teenagers soon after I was saved. I didn't know much, but I was learning, I was growing. And I got my discipleship pretty much from that church that I was attending on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night after being saved. And so got involved in that. And then we started a Christian school. And by that time, I was youth pastor. That was a couple years after I was there. And I was youth pastor for the church. They actually did start giving me a salary after a year of having that teen center. Now I was running the teen center. I was a youth pastor. And then we had started this Christian school, and after 2 years, the administrator left. And the church asked a nice guy youth pastor, that was me, I was a nice guy youth pastor, and asked me if I would temporarily fill in, Mrs. Hobbs, as the administrator until they got a real administrator. And folks, for the next 11 years, I was a temporary fill-in guy. Now, I was still the youth pastor, yeah, and I was still, you know, all those other, well, the teen center, we actually had to sell so that we could help build the Christian school and all of that. But I found myself, here's the point of the story, with our teens, our older teens especially, and those in our school, because what I started doing is I wanted to see what the spiritual temperature was of our school. And so I started teaching Bible to the 11th and 12th graders first, and then actually by the second year I was there, taught 7th through 12th grade, three different classes. I practiced on the 7th and 8th graders first hour and then got a little better, 9th and 10th second hour. And by third hour, I wasn't halfway bad with the juniors and the seniors. It was the same curriculum. I remember that it was called Bible History Visualized, and it was an overview of the Bible. I learned so much by teaching that class. And I think they learned something too, but I sure learned an awful lot. Many times getting up at 3 a.m. and learning what I was going to start practicing on with the 7th and 8th graders at first hour. But I really learned that. But here's what I found. I would tell, especially the older students, now, you need to be leaders, because I had heard other people say that, right? But what does it mean to be a leader? And by the looks on some of their faces when I'd say, now, we need to be leaders. And they'd look at me like, okay. And they didn't say it, but it was almost an expression of, well, what does that mean? And so what I started, and I thought, what does it mean to be a leader? So I started getting my hands on anything that I could get on leadership. Most of it was secular at the time. And reading books, even attended a couple of seminars, and all of this about leadership. And man, I was really learning. And then one day I had a novel idea. Wonder what the Bible says about leadership. And I found out that the greatest leader of all time is premier in the Bible, Jesus Christ. And it had so much to say about leadership that I actually started a leadership class for juniors in our high school the next year, because I thought maybe if I could get them to be biblical leaders by senior year, you know, they could benefit other students as well. And that's how I got into leadership. And real quickly here, two things, that wasn't a quick introduction, but two things here that I learned about leadership as I was studying it. And by the way, I've been studying it ever since, and really getting a biblical perspective on it over the years. But one thing that I learned about leadership is that every person is a leader. If you would Google or even look up in the dictionary the word leadership, you'd find a definition like providing direction or guidance. But then you always find a one-word definition for leadership. And some of you know what it is, right? Influence. And see, every person has influence. In fact, you know what it says in John chapter 17? We won't turn to that, but it says that we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. In fact, we're to stay from the evil. In fact, Jesus prayed in John 17, he prayed that God would keep the disciples from the evil of the world. So we're in the world, but we're not to be of it, but we're to stay from the evil of the world. And he said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, in John 17:17. But we are sent to the world. See, we are to be an influence. And so the reason in the title that I use the word leaders, becoming the leaders God intended us to be, is because we really are. First of all, I learned that every person is a leader because we all have influence. I have a lot of titles, but just because I have a title doesn't mean I have great influence. Whether it be as a husband or as a father, these days I'm a grandfather. I have 19 grandchildren. My wife and I have 5 children. And so when we all get together, there's 31 of us now. That's one more than there was 2 years ago when I was here. But there's 31 of us when we all get together, which isn't most of us got together at Christmas time, but I've got a son in Canada who could not get out. We were supposed to be celebrating right after Christmas our 50th anniversary. Our kids wanted to have a reception at our church, but none of that happened. We had to postpone because of restrictions in Kansas City and all those kind of things. And my son, who's a pastor in Canada, our oldest son, wasn't able to, their flights were canceled out of Canada. They really have restrictions up there on them, and they're in Alberta, Canada. And he's in Edmonton, Alberta. He's a pastor up there. And then I learned not only that we're leaders, but we can be the best kind of leader, because there's 4 types. I'll go over these in the service this morning. There's 4 types of leadership: positional, personality, competence, and example leadership, at the best kind of leadership. Even the world, even society says this, that the best type of leadership is character or example leadership. And as I learned that as a young Christian, I didn't know too much about the Bible yet, but there was a verse that jumped out to me when I was at a secular seminar, and they were saying that example leadership is the best type. And I thought, I remember a verse, 1 Timothy 4:12. And it said, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of a believer. And it gives 6 areas of being an example. In your word and what you say, in your, it says, King James says, conversation, which means your manner of life, in your love, your spirit, your faith, your purity, to be an example. And I thought, I got so excited, because I thought, you know what? I don't know a whole lot yet. I don't know too much of the Bible yet. But it doesn't take ability to be the best kind of leader. It just takes obedience. And I got so excited about that. And I've been sharing that message for years. And then what ended up happening was there was a camp called the Wilds Christian Camp. Some of you are familiar with it, in North Carolina. And they actually started a leadership conference a few years later. And a good friend of mine, in fact, I co-authored a book with Ken Collier, who is the president of the Wilds Christian Camp now, and one of my best friends. And so we took some students, actually, from our school to a Wilds of the Rockies in Colorado. But it was pretty far away, even from Midwest area where I live. And so I tried to get other schools to go, but they didn't seem like they could fit it in their schedule and this and this and this. So I finally brought Ken and a couple of other people to Kansas City to have a conference for some of our schools, because I couldn't get them to go to the other one. And it wasn't too long after that that I think it was a guy from New England called me up and asked me if I'd be willing to have one of those conferences up in New England for them. And so I grabbed up a couple of guys and I said, hey, would you go with me? And then West Virginia asked, and that's really how the AACS conferences, we went to them. The Wilds was still having theirs, but then we went to them, and Ken and I and different ones would do those conferences. And that's how we got started in what we're going to be having here tomorrow. So be praying for that. Now, with that in mind, let's get to the outline here. And what we're going to do, in fact, tomorrow, what I'm going to talk to the students about is we're going to try to engage them in the Word of God. You know, the word engage means to attract. A lot of time we think of engage, you think, isn't that before marriage, you engage, but attract. And I love this word, a definition of engage means to capture. And the goal is to try to attract them to what the Word of God says about having a biblical worldview. What the Word of God says about having a ministry mindset. And even in a very self-focused world, to get our focus off of ourselves and onto other people. That's what we really seek to do at the conferences. So with all that, let me just give you a few things here. Becoming leaders, God intended you to be. Now, what faces the believer today? We could spend the rest of the time on that. And I just want to give you a few things, and you can go ahead and fill in some of the blanks and what faces churches today. But let me give you a biblical premise. I'll give you a couple of things I want us to look at. Turn, first of all, to Matthew 22. Many of you are familiar with this passage, but to me, an overview of why we should be the leaders that God intended us to be is what God said. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. What did he say? He was asked, what's the great commandment in all the world? And what did he say? Starting verse 36 of Matthew 22. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love God, love other people. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And we won't take the time to do it, but by the way, that's called the great commandment. But you go a few chapters further, and there's also what? The great commission. Go make disciples. And that's what we're sent to do. And we are to be leaders, and everyone has influence, and so how can I? That's the big question. How can I be the leader that God intended me to be in 2021? Even in all the commotion and everything that's going on in our world today. And sad to say, sometimes we get so focused on what's happened politically and trying to listen to the latest on the news that sometimes we don't take the time to look at what we should be looking at in God's Word. Because what? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Proverbs 18:10, as we looked at. And the righteous run to it, and they're safe. Now, a couple of other passages, you might just want to write it down. So you got Matthew 22, you're familiar with that. But John 10:10, what does it say? Christ says, I came that you might have life. That's talking about everlasting life. And have it more abundantly. That's abundant life here on earth. He wants us to have peace and joy and contentment, even in a world that's so discontent, unless they get their way. And it's so easy for us to get all caught up in that ourselves, because we live in it and we're around it all the time. And it's so easy to get caught up emotionally in all these different things. And yet we've got to look back at, wait a minute, what's my real purpose here in life? Well, I'm to be what God intended me to be. My purpose is to glorify God. It's to grow in Christ's likeness. That's why we are here. So, this is what we face today. Now, let me just give you a couple of things. I actually gave these last time I was here. But what faces the believer, what faces our churches, that number one, that we live in a world of opposing values. And I shared these 4 points last time that I was here. And I pretty well share them everywhere that I go, because I think it kind of helps us to think. Now, wait a minute. Doesn't mean everything is bad in the world, but we do live in a world that basic philosophy is opposing values to what the Bible says. Secondly, not only do we live in a world of opposing values, but it has a very aggressive strategy. We don't have to spend much time there, do we? Very aggressive strategy. Very sad, but that's very true. And it tries to tell us. It definitely tries to tell our children, our grandchildren, this is what you're to be. This is how you can be successful. This is how you can be popular in life. This is what it takes. And life is all about me. That's what the world says. And yet, no. The Bible says that life is all about God. That we're here for a purpose to glorify Him. So we have a ton. And what does it say? 2 Corinthians 5. We'll probably look at it in the service this morning. But if any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creation. That old things are passed away. All things are become new. So, number three. We're either going to adopt the values of the world or we're going to reject them. One of the two. And these are points that I actually got out of a message. Probably it's been about 5 years ago now. Maybe 6 years ago by now. And it wasn't the main point of the message, but it just really grasped me. Especially this fourth one. And I knew it, but it just grasped me in a new way. That in order to reject the world's values, we must be equally aggressive with God's plan. Now, here's a question for you. Brand new year. I love new beginnings. So we're in a new year, early days of the new year. In fact, even yesterday, I had a little bit of extra time, and I was one of the things that I'm doing this year is going through the Bible again, reading through the Bible. I've got other things that I do, but last year, I was doing some other things that I didn't read through the entire Bible last year as my reading schedule. And I wanted to do that again this year. And so I'd already gotten a little bit behind. And so yesterday I got caught up on that. Actually went ahead just a little bit on that yesterday because I had some time on my hands as I was traveling and so forth. And so, but here's the question. As you look to 2021, you know, was our focus on what was going to happen in Georgia? Oh, yeah, we were all interested. My interest faded pretty quick after the election the other day. I'm not paying much attention to what's been going on. I mean, I've heard enough of it, but I'm not as paying that much attention to it because I've got to be reminding, wait a minute, no matter what happens, you know what? God still has His purpose and plan for me, for my wife and I, for our family. And we find ourselves spending more time in prayer and a lot of these things and trying to help people as they go through them. Now, let's just look at one other verse. Put it down, if you would. You can write it down there, but John 12:26. So go ahead and turn your Bible, John 12:26. I can give these to you, but I like for us to look at them in the Bible. Then I'm going to give you three principles. Look what it says. Here's what Christ is saying, John 12:26. If any man serve me, that's our desire, let him follow me. Do we have a plan? How are we going to follow him in 2021? Are we going to be more aggressive in following him than we were in 2020? Or did we intend that last year, but it was easy to get sidetracked with so many other things that came our way? It says, "And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me," and look at this last part, "him will my Father honor." That's a great promise. We all want to be honored. But you know what? God blesses those who are obedient to him. That same thing that I learned years ago. It wasn't about ability to be the best kind of leader. It was all about obedience. And so if we want 2021 to be a successful year for us and our families and in what we're doing, even in the midst of chaos and turmoil and uncertainty and fears and all this, guess what? God promises that, you know what? There's stability. There's certainty. There's contentment. What is contentment? It's looking at life and realizing God's provided everything that I need for my present happiness. That's really what contentment is. And yet, so often, it's easy to get caught up in, well, wait a minute, I'll be content if this happens. If this happens. And many of us, what we were hoping for in elections, and those things didn't happen. But you know what? Does it drive us to be more aggressive with God's plan, not count on the system around us? I mean, you know, we can do what we can and try to be a help and definitely be in prayer. And people that really seek to do right, because there's some wonderful folks up there in D.C. and even in our state legislatures. But there's a lot of strangos too, as we know. But guess what? We can be what God would have us to be and be a blessing and a help and encouragement to others as we seek to be in God's will. Now, with that, I want to give you this morning just a reminder. I gave a couple of these. I know I didn't give all three, but I gave a couple of these last time I was here. I actually spent the day talking about the first one. I call them life principles. Now, there's many more life principles than three, but I believe, I really do believe, in my years of being a Christian and in my years of actually now being involved in ministry and trying to be a help and encouragement to teens, to families, to churches and so forth, I really feel like these three principles pretty well put together for us in very simple fashion what life is all about. Let's look at them here. Number one, I call it to let your purpose prioritize your life. To let your purpose prioritize your life. Now, if you'll go to the back of your page, once you fill that in, what I've done is on the back of the outline this morning, I've given you what's called 10 principles and practices for a winning life. And what I've done is I've taken two life principles, the one that I just gave you, and that's the one that we spent time on. I spoke on it in the morning message, in Sunday school, and then we even had an afternoon message last time that I was here. But it all had to do with passages having to do with let your purpose prioritize your life. I actually spoke that morning on Romans 12, 1 and 2, which is number 5 in the back. But let's look first of all at Proverbs 3, number 1. It says it got 5 passages. Doesn't mean it's the only 5. There's plenty more. But to me, these are really impacting passages having to do with letting your purpose prioritize your life. What does it say in Proverbs 3? In fact, for years now, I've called Proverbs 3, I used to call Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 my life verses. Now it's actually 5 through 10 that I use as my life verses. I've expanded it a little bit. And it really does happen. I've really tried to focus on those for so long now that when I wake up in the morning, one of the first things that comes into my mind, first thing that comes to my mind many times nowadays is, where am I? Oh, yeah. I'm in Milton, Florida. That's right. And And okay, where's the bathroom? Because I need to go use it. And those are the first couple of things. But as I'm on my way to the bathroom, I think one of the first thing that enters my mind is, you know what? I'm to trust in the Lord with all my heart today. And not to lean in my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge Him. How can I acknowledge Him today? And He will direct my path. I'm not to be wise in mine own eyes, because in mine own eyes, things should have gone differently in the last few months around here. Maybe since last March, actually. But fear the Lord. That's the key to it all right there. Have a reverence and trust in our God. Depart from evil. And on it goes. And then I go from that to a second passage, which is right here, Psalm 37. I love Psalm 37. Some of you are familiar with it. I'm not going to take the time to go to it, but I already filled in the blanks for you. Isn't that nice? You don't even have to do that there. But what does it say? Psalm 37. It tells us to trust in the Lord and do good. And then it says, dwell in the land. Dwell there. Continue to trust. Then it says, feed on His faithfulness. And you know what? When those difficult times come, man, when I'm getting fears and anxieties and, now wait a minute, reflect back on God's goodness and grace over the years. That's what my wife and I seek to do. And boy, it brings you back to reality. We have got a wonderful God, and I'm to put my trust in Him today. Then what does it say in Psalm 37? Not only trust the Lord, but it says what? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. He'll bring it to pass. Wow, I use that all the time in reminding me with the student leadership conference ministry as far as direction and guidance on that. And then it says, rest in the Lord. And then the words, relax. Sometimes that's not easy for me to do. I can be a warrior by nature. I didn't say warrior, I said warrior. And yet I remind myself, what's the third passage there? Philippians 4. You know, what does it say? That first of all, rejoice in the Lord always. Can I say rejoice? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And the peace of God which passes all understanding. You know what that does? And that's, by the way, meditating on Scripture. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, by the way, in the message tonight. Meditating on Scripture, because I think we need to do more of that. Maybe some of you do a great job with it. But to be quite honest, if we'll get real honest, I find that we do very little. We're pretty good at being faithful to services. And that's great. That's a good start. But you know what? If we're going to be what God intended us to be, what does He tell us in Joshua 1:8? This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And we'll look at those kind of things to this evening. You go down here to Romans 12, the last one. This is what I spoke on last time on Sunday morning 2 years ago. There was even an outline. If you dig through your Bible, you might even find an outline back there somewhere that I had here. But first of all, that we have a different goal. What does it say? To present yourself as a living sacrifice. See, it's right there under Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're to renew our mind. We have a different authority. It's God's word. It's not my reasoning. We have different actions and attitudes. We're to be not conformed, but transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind, that you may prove. That's a different way of handling problems. Those were the 4 points that I gave 2 years ago, and I use that message fairly often at some ministries where I'm at. See, it's 4 Christian distinctives that we have. Now, let me read a little testimony to you. I think I've got it here. Yeah, here it is. This is from Thursday. I was just in Nebraska on Thursday. We had a student leadership conference. That's actually the first one we've had since the beginning of the year. But I had the students write at the end of the day, what's something the Lord taught you today? What's something that was a blessing? And it was kind of interesting because I had them, and then I had my secretary or our administrative assistant, she's typing them up, and then I send them back to the schools and everything. I don't have names on it or anything, but these are what the students were saying. But this one gal, she didn't get it turned in time. She gave it to me on the way out. And yesterday on the plane, I found it. in my Bible, and I was so impressed with this. Listen, here's a little gal. I don't know. I think she was about 7th or 8th grade, actually. But she says, when you are, here's what she said she got out of the other day. When you're surrounded by peers, it's hard to stand up for what is right. But you need to face your fears, for you never know who you'll help or who is on your side, and you can lose opportunity if you don't stand up for what is right. In other words, what was she saying? She's saying, look, I need to follow my God, and no matter what anybody else is doing, I'm to let my purpose be the priority of my life. She gave an illustration of that life principle right there, and she didn't even realize it at the time because we didn't deal with that on that particular day. But that is life principle number one. Let me give you life principle number two. Be different on purpose. That's what we're going to talk about today. Different. The word different means distinct. A lot of times we think of odd. You know, if somebody says, you know what? You know, if they came up to you and say, you know what? You're a little different. Would you take that as a compliment? You're a little out of the ordinary, in other words. You're unique. But you know what it means? Different means distinct. It means unlike most others. And you know, years ago, that young lady on a campus that was a state university, I don't recommend my alma mater. There wasn't much for God going on there, that's for sure. I don't try to point people to where I went to college at a state university in Missouri. But here was a young lady who, even in the midst of all of that, where there wasn't much for God going on, she had a purpose in her life. She wasn't from a Christian home, but she had gotten saved at a youth rally in high school. She had gotten involved in a Bible club after school back in those days. And some of her friends went off to Christian college, but her parents weren't really into that. She ended up at the state university. But you know what? I ended up on a committee with her. And on that committee, I saw something different about her. And I saw her live it out. And I saw her share purpose with other people, including me, and point them to God's word. She could always give me a Bible reason for what she did or what she didn't do. And that was new to me. And you know what? She lived that out. And she had that different goal, a different authority and so forth. She was different on purpose because of her purpose in life to glorify God. Because of her purpose in life to grow in Christ-likeness, guess what? She was distinct, unlike most others, and God used her. In my life, he's just still using her in my life because she's my wife now. But she used her in a lot of other people's lives, by the way, and has for a number of years. But you know, every one of us have those opportunities, don't we? And yet the question is, how am I sent? What does God have for me in this brand new year? And let me give you the third one. And I didn't even have this life principle yet 2 years ago. It's a new one, and this is our theme for tomorrow. In fact, tomorrow's book is The Biblical Leader and His Choices. And here's the life principle. Let your purpose clarify your choices. In fact, I'm going to give them a follow-up book that I actually wrote during COVID last March through June. A 5-chapter book. It's a smaller book. And by the way, I have a book for you today. Let's see. They're out there. But anyway, there's a booklet out there on the table. And it's called Let Your Light Shine. It's a 5-chapter book. It actually, where it says be different on purpose, the part that we didn't cover here this morning, on the back of the outline, on that second bullet point, be different on purpose, those 5 passages, Matthew 5. 13 through 16. We're going to speak on that actually in a little bit here. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Philippians 2, 3 through 8. Mark 10, 43 through 45. And John 17. All of those are the 5 chapters of the book. But I have a copy, one per family, out there for you. I hauled them on the airplane with me yesterday, so trust it'll be a help to you and an encouragement to you. I also have out there what's called a focus pack. I'm going to talk a lot more about that this evening. But it basically is a, let me show you one here. It's a booklet, or it's a packet that has, it's called How to Be a Winner in Life. And it's a booklet, looks like this, focus pack. And it takes those 10 passages of scriptures, and it gives you a study on each one of those. It's a scripture meditation program on those 10 passages of scripture. Then it has two follow-up books. First of all, it has the follow-up book that I gave to you last, or 2 years ago here, called Focus on Winning in Life. With the five passages, it has more about those particular passages. And then it has this book that I'm giving to you today that says, Let Your Light Shine. These, we gave these at the leadership conferences the last 2 years. Now the new one on choices, the students are going to get that tomorrow, but I didn't have enough room to haul those in here for you as well today. And I wanted it to be for them tomorrow. But it's two life principles, scripture meditation program on 10 passages, and you use it. I had 30 students last summer. We just did a trial on this, and it just was very impacting on their life. So we're going to talk about that this evening. And so my time is up for this morning. By the way, I just had a few, and I had these last time, so they're not new to a lot of you, but a book that I co-authored with Ken Collier some years back now called Biblical Leadership. It's basically what we cover. The two themes of leadership conferences are how do you have a biblical worldview and how to develop a ministry mindset. And this is a book that's really been used a lot. I don't know how many printings we've gone through now, but then I came back and did a workbook with it. Normally this is a $10 book and the workbook is an $8 book, but for $10, I just got a few out there. But if you're interested, there's a basket out there. You could get it. Also, in fact, the teachers told me they just went through this. Adam mentioned it to me yesterday, a book called How to Be a Team Player and Enjoy It. I wrote this. I actually wrote the first edition of this a little over 20 years ago. My pastor wanted me to write a book on staff relationships, so I did. And even a lot of the Christian colleges were using it and so forth. And then about 8-9 years ago, it was when I was administration at Northland, because we were using it there for our students, and I looked through, especially one of the chapters on consistency, called a consistency, chapter 4. And there were a couple things in there that I thought, you know, I don't know if that's as biblical as I thought it was 20 years ago when I wrote this. So I actually totally rewrote the book about 9 years ago. And then I had some other people contribute to it, did a workbook that goes along with it. I think the teachers went through it. But this is normally a $14 book, and this is an $8 workbook, and 10 bucks for the two of them. So I've got a couple of those out there if you're interested. You can pick those up as well. The Focus Pack, I brought several. Those just came out this fall, but I think we've already gone through 500 of these without trying much. But a lot of people were using them as they got into the new year for their families, for going through with somebody else and so forth. So anyway, have those things out there. We're going to end the message this morning, go to Matthew chapter 5, and continue on with what we've just been covering here. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord. It's a blessing to be here, but more than that, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. It truly is sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, you've told us how your word gives us doctrine. It teaches us how it reproves, it convicts us, how it corrects and makes corrections in our life and gives us an instruction in righteousness. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to renew our minds through your word today. Thank you for these dear folks. What a blessing to be with them. Continue to work in our hearts today that we might be all that you've called us to be in 2021. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.